We have visitors in our audience tonight, and we appreciate your presence. And for those who've been in the class, a word of explanation. We were studying about the parent-child relationship, and we got up to question number 18. But we're not going to finish it. What we'll try to do, if the Lord is willing, I'm going to plan some sermons maybe to finish out some of the points that we have in this particular lesson. But tonight we're going to skip over and do the last lesson, the brother-sister relationship tonight, and that will finish up our study. Appreciate Rocky's prayer. God did make the family, and He made it good. Families are falling apart all around us. All kind of trouble in families, but it's not because of God's failure in His designing the family. And He gave us instruction about how it's to work. If you buy a car, you don't read the instructions. If you know nothing about a car, you may put something in your gas tank that'll ruin it. It won't run good. You may put the wrong kind of gasoline, even if you put gasoline. Well, the same is true with the family. You've got to follow the directions of the manufacturer. If you want it to run good, it'd be productive, smooth. So we've been looking into God's Word. We're not appealing to human counselors. We're not appealing to mom and dad, grandpa and grandma. We're turning to the Maker of the family to see His instructions about having families that will please Him and that we can enjoy and benefit from. Tonight we're going to be looking at the brother-sister relationship. So you have your lesson there before you. Again, for sake of time, we'll not be able to get in detail on every point, but maybe we can cover some things that will be of some benefit. We'll begin our study here in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 8. Abraham and Lot. Abraham was Lot's uncle. Both were rich men. Both had large herds. The problem was they were running out of pasture land. So what are they going to do? In Genesis chapter 13, verse 8, here's what Abram said. What would happen in a lot of families? There'd be a fight for dominance. And I'm the older guy, I'm going to plant my sheep here. Or the younger guy said, no, I'm going to plant my sheep here. But look what Abram said to Lot, verse 8. Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. For, and he gave a reason, we are brothers. Now, when we talk about brothers, we're talking about children of the same parents. That's not the way they used the word. It was a lot broader word. Abraham was actually Lot's uncle. We are relatives, in other words. And so Abram, this man of faith, who respected God and strived to have a family that pleased Him, said it's not proper for us to have strife between us. The same ought to be true in our families. We'll not always be able to avoid it for the simple reason that not everybody in the family will be guided by the principles that make the family good. And that you can't control, but you can do your part. And while this lesson is on brothers and sisters, it's a great lesson for parents. As you endeavor to instruct your children in the ways that will bring peace and harmony in the family. If, you know, Abram and Lot were unique in their society because they were believers in God and their society was an idolatrous society. In fact, Lot moved his tents near Sodom. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah were absolutely immoral, unbelievers, ungodly people. And Abraham had went to Canaan. And while there was some faith in God and some people, it was certainly not living in what we call a Christian nation by any means. And yet these two men believed in God. And when two men believe in God, two people believe in God, harmony in the family is what it should be. And we'll see more as we go through our lesson, because not only is God pleased, but it has an impact on those around us. We have a chart here in your lesson. I went to do some work on brothers and sisters and conflict between brothers and sisters as you find in the pages of God's book. You know, when you talk about family problems and you ask somebody, well, why is there a problem? What's the problem in getting an answer? People are going to answer from their perspective. If you read a history book, the historian's going to answer from his perspective. Here we have a book that records people just as they were because the Holy Spirit was guiding the pen of the writers. And so we have some insight as to what happened, and what was interesting to me in case after case after case. You'll note we have on number 2, jealousy was a problem. A brother or a sister was jealous of the other. And you see this to be a pattern in the conflict between brothers and sisters. So on the chart, we have this middle column, specifically in context, what was the issue between them, the jealousy, what did it have to do with? And then we don't live in that day. For example, that first one, Genesis 4, 4 and 5, turn over there with me if you will. Most of you are familiar with this story. Here are two brothers, Cain and Abel, and they're offering sacrifices to God. And you remember that Cain, verse 3, brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. He was a man that took care of the ground. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock. Then there's that statement at the end of verse 4. The Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. For Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So what happened? Cain became angry, and his countenance fell. Why was he angry? He was jealous of God's acceptance of his brother's sacrifice. And in this particular case, you know what it led to? He was so angry. He found a time to catch Abel out in a field, and he killed him. And so bitterness between brothers can lead to that. You read about it in the news. You hear about it on the news. Families killing one another, brothers and brothers and sisters. Well, we're not offering sacrifices like Cain did or Abel did today. So we ask you on the lesson applications today. How could this apply to a family today? So two boys are given a job by their father. Maybe it's painting a room. Maybe it's doing the yard. And dad tells one young man, "You sure did a good job, son." The other young man, he doesn't tell him that. Maybe he says, "You could have done better." What happens? Dad approved the one guy, but he didn't me. What's the matter? Dad doesn't love me? Dad thinks more of him than me? Can you imagine the conflict that's going to go on between those two brothers the rest of the day? That happens. And so it may not be that, maybe something else. But the point is, these occasions where one brother or sister is commended either by a dad, a family, a friend, the other's not, can set the stage for jealousy. Jealousy is a feeling inside. Your feelings are stirred because somebody else has something that you want. That's jealousy. And oftentimes, over and over in the Bible, it leads to very tragic acts. It's what put Jesus on the cross, by the way. It's what put the apostles in prison. Jealousy. And so it's a very powerful and evil motive. It can be good, but we're not talking about that tonight. We'll talk one verse about it if our time permits. But be that as it may. So we have here Genesis 25, 31 through 34. Now in this particular case, what is the thing that is wanted that caused was the problem of jealousy? You remember? The what? Okay, the father favored one, mother favored the other. That's certainly true. What in this particular text was the issue that caused such bitterness and hatred? The birthright. You remember Jacob was an indoor guy. He was a cook. Esau was the hunter. He was the outdoors man. But Jacob was a deceiver. And as Elizabeth pointed out, Mama favored Jacob, Daddy favored Esau. That's a problem in itself. So there's already some bad feelings about that. But Jacob deceived Esau and got his birthright, got the blessing and the birthright. So there was jealousy. Esau wanted his birthright and he wanted his father's blessing, but he gave it to Jacob. Remember what happened? Now, what did Esau say he was going to do? I'll kill him. I'll kill him. And that went on for years. In fact, later on, when Jacob and Esau met, Jacob was afraid to meet him because he's afraid he's going to take out his vengeance on him. But by that time, that had passed with Esau. But they're descendants. You know, sometimes things start in family between a brother and a sister, or two sisters. And you think, well, that's it. Okay, that was over the family. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years later, there's enmity in that family. This particular enmity, Jacob became the father of the Israelite nation. Children of Israel, that's his other name. Esau became the father of the Edomites. For years and years and years, these nations fought one another. But here's where that enmity started. And sometimes enmity between brothers and sisters can lead to long time problems. So we ask for applications today. Did anybody put anything for suggestions that would parallel this? The older brother giving rights that the younger brother doesn't have? In other words, maybe he's allowed to stay up later. Maybe he can drive and he's allowed to go somewhere the younger brother can't go. Maybe one gets some kind of clothing that the other would like to have. Maybe one makes better grades in school and the parents commend them for it, and there's jealousy, and then there's bad feelings and hard words are said and ill will. But this is the case between these two men. But jealousy was the cause of it. He has something that I want. My feelings are stirred and I'll get him for it. In Genesis chapter 27 is the one about the blessing. So we got Genesis 25 about the birthright and Genesis 27 about the blessing. You know, you talk about a blessing. Here, we're coming up on Christmas time. You reckon children watch what their brother, sister, what mom and dad bought for them versus what they bought for me? Why did they spend $75 on their gift and $15 on mine? What happens? Jealousy. Why did they get what they asked for and I didn't get what I asked for? And so here's the blessing in this particular case that Esau wanted. Jacob deceived him out of it. And he gave it to Jacob. And so there was that ill will that was engendered. But again, it's jealousy that caused it. You get to the case of Genesis 37. Let's look at Genesis 37. Genesis 37. Got three guys sitting right here. How old are you, Josh? 22, how old are you? 16? And how old are you, Damien? 16, all right. 22, 16, and 16. Here's a story about a young man that was 17. Right in between you guys. And you see that in verse 2. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing his flock. And you see that Joseph brought a bad report back about his brothers. Now, Joseph was favored by the dad. They already felt bad at him. But on top of that, he went and saw his brothers, and they weren't taking care of their job, and he brought back a bad report. And so, look at verse 5. Well, first of all, verse 4. His father saw that his brother saw that his father loved him more than all his brothers. So they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Why does dad like you more than me or mom? you no good rascal. See? You're the youngest. We're older, stronger. We're doing all this work. Why does he like you better? They couldn't speak anything friendly to him. Joseph didn't ask for that. That's the father. And the father should have known better. He had been through that when he was a boy with his dad, Isaac, favored Esau over Jacob. Mom favored Jacob over Esau, and it caused conflict. Looked like Jacob would learn that lesson. But he favored Joseph. And so Joseph told him a dream. Boy, they really didn't like that. The dream meant that someday he was going to rule over his brothers. They really didn't like him now. Jealous. So when they found an opportunity, when he went out to see about his brothers, they threw him in a pit. They were going to kill him. One of the brothers stopped him, but they sold him into slavery. Imagine you three guys. Y'all have brothers? Suppose your brother said, I don't like him. I'm going to sell him over to Africa. We'll get rid of that rascal. Hey, they got all these illegals over here coming to the United States. We got human trafficking. I can get $100 from my brother. Hot dog. That's what they did. Jealousy. And so that happened to this young man. Interesting young man, by the way. Though he was sold, though he went over there and worked hard and, well, yeah, was thrown in prison, he never forgot God, never quit believing in God. In fact, became the ruler of Egypt. Remarkable young man. But you can see how jealousy was the cause of it, the father's special love for Joseph. We as parents have to watch that. It's easy to favor one child over the other. That can cause problems in our family. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26 through 30. You go over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is another story about the younger brother. The younger brother was David at this time. Probably in his teens. And he brought food to his brothers who were warriors in an army. When he got there, he heard this fellow on the other side of the mountain over there with the other army. Big tall guy, 8 foot tall, 9 foot tall, whatever he was, Goliath a giant. He is cursing God and cursing their army. This young boy, David, said, why doesn't anybody stop that guy? They were all scared to death of him. And so his brothers got mad. What are you doing over here? You just want to be in the army. You just want to get in the mix of things. They were jealous. And they spoke very harshly to David. That's another story. They were jealous of David's potential success and honor. And in fact, he was successful. He did kill that giant. And he was exalted by the king next to him. But they were jealous. And again, we see jealousy as the cause of that conflict. 1 Kings chapter 1 and 2. David is dying, and he has already pointed out, look at 1 Kings chapter 1, who's going to succeed him on the throne as king. But you'll note in 1 Kings chapter 1, there's another boy, another brother. And in chapter 1 and in verse 5, this brother's Adonijah. And Adonijah's got a problem. He's a prince. He's the son of the king. But he hadn't been trained properly. Look at verse 6. His father never crossed him at any time by asking, why have you done so? Young man, if you got a dad that said, where are you going? What are you doing? Be thankful. So, David, as great a man as he was a good man. Maybe he was busy with the kingdom. I don't know, but he wasn't paying attention to his boys. And we talked a little bit about that in our class. Wednesday night, I believe it was, or Sunday morning. But anyway, as a result of that Adonijah had this idea that he was the one that ought to be the king. He set out to try to get the kingship, though David had said, Solomon, the young boy, is going to get it. Isn't it often it's between two boys of different ages, jealousy? And so Adonijah wanted the throne. He devised a plan to get it. It didn't work. Eventually, Solomon put him to death. It's just one story after another. Jealousy. He wanted what Solomon had. Later on, one of the other brothers, Absalom, wanted the throne. He was about to kill his daddy. Tried. Jealous. So jealousy is a real problem in families. Anyway, this chart, and so the same thing is true sometimes in families today. With this matter of authority. One brother jealous of another brother because dad said, "Now I'm leaving, and Josh, you're going to be in charge." And maybe one of your other brothers said, "Why is he in charge? He's just another brother. Why does he get to be the boss?" Because dad said so. Delegated authority. But anyway, that can be a matter of jealousy and cause problems between brothers. It's an old, old story, and the Holy Spirit revealed that. So it's something that parents need to work on with their children, and young people need to work on if they want peace in their families. Say, so what? So there's jealousy. So what? Turn to Galatians chapter 5. What difference does it make? Galatians chapter 5, we have here a text of Christians warning them of the conduct and attitudes they ought not have or practice. And you'll see that in verse 19, he said, these are works of the flesh, deeds of the flesh, that men do without being guided by God's holy word. And note he says, immorality, verse 19, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife. What's the next one? Jealousy. You say, I know somebody's going to go to hell if they murder. I know somebody's going to go to hell if they're immoral. But jealousy's in the list. And he said in verse 21, I'm warning you, I've warned you before, I'm telling you again, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Besides the present conflict jealousy caused, it can keep you out of heaven. That's how serious it is. And I guess we've all been guilty of it. The beautiful thing is that in Christ we can be forgiven, but we've got to quit it. But that was a warning about the danger of jealousy. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Again, another letter to a church. Now, these churches that you're reading about here, they're not like the churches most of us are familiar with today. Here we've got a group of people. A number of the people in this audience, your mother, your dad was a Christian. Maybe your grandfather and grandmother were Christians, at least moral people. These people in Galatia and Ephesians and Colossians, they lived in an idolatrous society. They practiced all kind of things, language, conduct, ungodly, cruel things. Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, look in verse 31. He's telling these Christians about the change they've got to make. That's one of the hard things, is changing. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from among you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Does that apply to brother and our sister? Sure it does. Just because they're my brother and my sister, one of my relatives, a cousin or uncle, that doesn't exempt them from this. These are very instructive words. I wish we had time to look at them more. There's two words for anger, wrath. One of them is wrath, one is anger. One of them has to do with the kind of anger. You get red in the face, your veins stick out, you holler. The others, no, don't do that, but I'll get you someday, buddy. Both kinds. And then there's that word clamor. That's a word that in their language was actually a word of sound. And so you hear families, they shout and they holler and they carry on. And then they go in the car and go to church. Really? And so the malice, you see the malice there, ill will, all of that has to be removed. And so just because it goes on behind closed doors and nobody sees it doesn't mean it's okay. Yes, Jamie?
You're not
Very good point, Jamie. That's a life lesson. You know, what we think's unfair, that's life sometimes. Why are they so healthy and I'm sick? Why do they get a job and make $100,000 a year and I make $10,000 a year? You know, I work as hard as they do or whatever. Why do they have nice clothes and I don't? Or whatever it may be. And so that can happen between brothers and sisters, between children and parents. You know, why are the parents enjoying all these things and I don't get them? Well, partly because of age. They work for it. They're way further down the road. But those kind of things that Jamie's talking about can breed jealousy and ill will and hard feeling. That's a good point, Jamie. So it's a good lesson for parents to teach their children. You don't have to have everything. Life's not going to always give you what you want. And what are you going to do about it is the question. That's the question. So, well, it doesn't make any difference. It'll make a difference when you meet God. It'll make a difference in your life on earth. About conflict or peace, happiness or sorrow. So that's a good point that Jamie made. Look at Genesis 4:7. What a wonderful lesson here about this matter of jealousy between family members. Remember Cain and Abel? Here's the first example of a brother murdering a brother, getting jealous of a brother, angry with his brother, and putting him to death. So here Abel's offered a blood sacrifice, which God accepted. Cain's offered a vegetable sacrifice, something from his ground, whatever it was. God wouldn't accept it. So now note God's admonition to him. First of all, verse 6. At first, his countenance fell. You could tell it in his face. You know, people reveal their anger, their disappointment, the way they look. What's wrong? God knew. And so God said to him, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? Now note verse 7, what God says to him. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Sin is like a wild animal pouncing at the door, just waiting for the opportunity. Said, okay, Cain, it's up to you. You could look at this one way. Cain did this and he was accepted. Instead of me being mad at Cain, I'll do what Cain did. I mean, what Abel did. I'll offer an animal sacrifice and God will be pleased with me too. No, no. He got mad, found the opportunity, and he killed his brother. And so, if you have a brother or a sister, and good for parents to teach their children, if there's a brother or sister that excels in something, instead of being angry, say, well, that's a motivation to me to excel in some particular field. Maybe that not field, maybe not that field, but maybe some other field. Instead of using that as a cause for anger and jealousy, use it as a motivation to do the right thing. That was God's admonition right here in this original story in Genesis 4 about this anger between these two brothers. Look over at Deuteronomy 21. Are you the oldest, Josh? All right, you'll like this story then. Look at Deuteronomy 21, verse 15. If a man has two wives, the one loved and the other unloved, and both the loved and the unloved have borne him sons, if the firstborn son belongs to the unloved, then it shall be that in the day he wills what he has to his sons, he cannot make the son of the loved the firstborn before the son of the unloved, who is the firstborn. All right, so what do you mean making the firstborn? You can't have him reborn again. No, firstborn connoted preeminence. The oldest son had a situation of preeminence by the fact that he was born first. He's the oldest. And he got an extra share of the blessings. The Bible calls it a double share. It doesn't necessarily mean two times, but a bunch. And so this guy's got two wives, which he shouldn't have had in the first place. He really in love with one of them, but the one he doesn't love that's got the son, that's the oldest. Well, I don't like her too much anyway. I'll make this younger son the firstborn, and he'll have the preeminence, and he'll have the most. I love his mama. God said, no, you don't. Can't do that. So here, God regulated it, that the oldest son in the family had a special place of honor and a special place of the idea of the reception of the family blessings. And so recognizing that in a family. So maybe you have a younger brother and your dad says, Josh, I'm going to the hardware store. Here's what I want you to do, and here's what I want your brothers to do. So you say, okay, y'all need to get busy and do this job, whatever it is, mow the grass or pick up something or whatever. They say, look, you don't have the right to tell me what to do. Oh, but you do. Because Dad delegated you that authority. And you're the older brother. And you're responsible. And so sometimes this is what happens in families that again, is jealousy. Why do they get the preeminence? Why do they have the rights that I don't have? Maybe it's because of their age or their position. And that can happen. People pass away. There's a will read. Maybe it falls to the older brother or sister to be the executor of the will. Well, why do they get to be? Maybe father and mother, so if they're the oldest, they have that right and privilege. I don't know. But the point is, jealousy is what leads to trouble and heartache in those kind of families. I'm looking here at what I can skip for sake of time. If you have the lesson, you can look at the things that we're overlooking. Let's look at number 11. We're going to look at some Proverbs. We'll skip down to number 11. Use whatever little time we have left to look at some of these Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a special book in the Bible. The word proverb just means wise sayings. And they're very practical. They have to do with life in general. All over the board. Excellent book for parents to read, young people to read, anyone to read, to help make wise decisions in life. So these proverbs have wise counsel about how to avoid strife. Let's start in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12. All right, so remember that these are general principles. And he says in verse 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. So why is there problems sometimes between siblings? They hate them. They keep bringing up these things. Now, you did this a month ago, you did this a year ago, you said this 2 weeks ago, and it just keeps the pot stirring. But he said, love, that's my brother, that's my sister. They shouldn't have done that, but I love them. Love covers all transgressions. And so if there's love that prevails, I know my brother and sister didn't mean to hurt me. Love covers all transgressions. Don't continue to agitate. Bury that bitterness and pursue love. Look at chapter 13, verse 10. Through insolence, and some versions have overconfidence and some have pride. Through insolence, here we have in verse 10, comes nothing but strife. But wisdom is with those who receive counsel. There's people who are so full of pride, they won't listen. They think they know all the answers. And they think they're so smart. Maybe a brother or sister gives us some counsel. Maybe it's something they've done before. They've been down the road. Who do you think you are? And instead of being humble, being willing to accept some advice, there's jealousy and strife that results. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. How many times have we experienced this very thing right here? This version says a gentle answer. Some version says say a soft answer. Gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Two guys are talking, brothers or brother and sister, and boy, one says something sharp, the other thinks something meaner. And the other thinks of something else. Pretty soon you got a fight on your hands. Instead of responding with a soft or gentle answer. That's hard to do at times. But this is why sometimes you have strife in families. Look at chapter 15, verse 18. This version says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife. Oftentimes, if people got a hot temper, they're proud of it. But that leads to strife. Not only between brothers, but between all people. Look at 11:13. Wish we had time to talk more about these, but time is restrictive here tonight. Look at 11:13. He who goes about as a tale bearer. A tale bearer. What in the world is a tale bearer? Well, it's somebody that tells something they ought not tell, or doesn't tell it right. He who goes about as a tale bearer reveals secrets. So your brother, your sister, your family member told you something in secret. You go tell somebody else. You go tell somebody else. And so as a result of this tale bearer bearing this, revealing this secret, there's ill will and strife. But he who is trustworthy or faithful conceals the matter. This was in secret. I need to honor this person's wish to keep this between us. But once again, here are some problems that promote strife in the relationship. Look at chapter 23. I'm skipping some here, I know that, but look at chapter 23. Here's one of the problems that lead to strife in families, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives. 23:29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? So, who has all this fighting going on? All amazed tumult in their lives. Well, here's one of the reasons right here. Look at it. Those who linger long over wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Back then, they would strengthen wine by mixing stuff in it to give it more alcoholic content or power on the bind. He said, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles on the cup, when it goes down smoothly. You know, you see these ads on TV for whiskey. Oh, it's a beautiful scenery. And man, they look that stuff looks really good on TV. And they pour it in a glass and it looks so good. Well, that's way back here. Satan knows how to make things that'll hurt you look good. When it sparkles in the cup and it goes down smoothly. He said at the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. Your mind will utter perverse things. He goes on to point out, you'll be like a fellow out in the midst of the sea. You've lost your sense of judgment. And then you're so out of it, you're ready to do it again. Look at the last line. When can I drink again? How much strife in families is caused because people have been buying beer or wine or whiskey and then they mistreat their family members? You want a good family? Stay away from that stuff. You say, well, I can't be happy with that. Yes, you can. There's a room full of people right here that can have happy lives and good families that never have a beer in their refrigerator, never drink whiskey or wine, alcoholic wine. So these are some of the warnings about things that can cause this kind of strife in families. I wish we had time to look at chapter 23 talks about listening to your father and your mother. They've been down the road and they can give you good counsel. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 2. Just about out of time, so let's get here to this last couple verses we have. 2 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 26. Abner called to Joab and said, shall the sword devour forever? What a question. Is that what we want in our families? Or do we want to put an end to it? Is there always going to be squabbling and always going to be contention? Will the sword devour forever. Sad story, the results of this, by the way. They would murder again. But that's what happens. So we're back to where we started in Genesis chapter 13, verse 8. Let there be no strife between us. Why? We're brothers. We're members of the same family. Let there be no strife between us. Thank you for your attention, not only tonight, but throughout the course of the family. I wish we had time to cover more of it. I've not only taught this now, but I taught it two or three other times here. So there's times we had more time. We were short on classes this quarter, but if you're interested in it, those lessons are posted. Wally's got them posted. And you can go back and see if we covered that in more detail in some of the other lessons. The lessons will be available on the website. And if you like the teacher's edition, we have a lot more notes in the teacher's edition. You just let me know and I'll be glad to give you a copy. So be ready for Doug's class Sunday morning. He's going to be teaching on Ecclesiastes. He went through the trouble and work and effort to give you lessons or put them in a notebook. Get a copy of that. Look over that first lesson and be ready for his class Sunday morning, Lord willing. Thank you.